Nick Lowe helped shape the sound of pop music in the 1970s and 80s. He could twist a phrase, layer it with irony, and still keep the beat.
You gotta be cruel to be kind in the right measure. Cruel to be kind, that's a very good sign. But cruel to be kind means that I love you, baby. You gotta be cruel to be kind.
In addition to his own hits like Cruel to Be Kind, he wrote songs other singers made famous, like What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding, recorded by Elvis Costello. Nick Lowe also made his mark on music as the producer of Elvis Costello's first five albums, and he produced plenty of others too, like Graham Parker and The Pretenders. The title of his 1978 solo album, Pure Pop for Now People, might still apply to the music he writes and sings today, only the pure pop is a little less edgy, perhaps, a little more pensive. Nick Lowe, now 53, is on tour in the United States, mostly performing acoustic solo versions of his songs from his latest album, The Convincer. And he joins me now in the studio with a guitar standing nearby. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So I should actually point out that that's not your guitar. Your manager said you like to play other people's guitars. So one of the engineers here at NPR brought in, I guess it's, well, it's a Martin guitar. It's not bad. But why that? Why other people's guitars?
Oh, well, just because it. If you play your own instrument all the time, it can sound a little slick, you know, and just gives me something to... It sounds a little more kind of front porchy if you play someone else's guitar, I think, because you don't quite know the feel of it. Also, I don't have to lug my guitar around with me.
That's what I was going to say. I said maybe there's a simple explanation. But you don't tour very much anymore. You're only doing a few dates in the United States. Is it too draining? Is it?
Well, it is really, yes. I spent most of the 70s and 80s touring the United States in various degrees of comfort, but mainly quite a lot of discomfort, but having a great time. I was a younger man then, and we had a wonderful time. Now I'm older. I love doing the gigs more than I did back then. The gigs, the actual shows back then were a sort of an unwelcome interruption to the day's itinerary. But now I take the shows much more seriously, but the actual traveling is, I find, really quite hard to put up with.
I wonder if there's a song that you could play now that maybe you wrote 20 years ago or 30 years ago that you might tackle differently now.
Yes. Most of the ones that I still do from way back, if I still like them enough to do them now, they sort of changed anyway. But I could sing a bit of one. This is a song that I did with a group I was in called Rockpile a few years ago. But...
Without love, I'm incomplete. Without love, I am not whole. Without love, I'm barely on my feet. I am dying without love. Without love, I am an island all by myself in the heartbreak sea. Without love, there's no denying I am dying without love. For there is nowhere I can run, and there is no hiding place, sticking out like a sore thumb by the gloomy look upon my face. Without love. And so on.
And how is this different?
The recording with Rockpile was more like the Monkees, I think, as I remember it. And mine's more like a sort of Johnny Cash thing now.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly that I innovate them away. In fact, it's the opposite, really. I find the older I get, the simpler and simpler I like the songs I write, and tackling the ones I did way back when I was a little less relaxed.
Relaxed. Is that a bad... Sometimes that sounds like it has a bad connotation to it.
Yes, I know, because we're supposed to be all mad, you know, all us rock and roll blokes. But no, I'm a relaxed guy.
What about, though, relaxed? But there's a song on this latest album of yours, lately I've let things slide. That is not angry, but it does speak to some experience somehow.
I don't, put my diary to music. You know, I think that I'm a pop songwriter and I make it, I just make the stuff up. I mean, I know what I'm singing about, but I'm not actually relating my own experiences, but I know what it feels like. Do you want me to play a bit of it?
Sure.
With a growing sense of dread and a hammer in my head, fully clothed upon the bed, I wake up to the world that lately I've been living in. There's a cut upon my brow, must have banged myself somehow, but I can't remember now. And the front door's open wide, lately I've let things slide. I go to the bin, I throw the laundry in, and pick out the cleanest shirt. Then I tell myself again, I don't really hurt. Smoking I once quit, now I've got one lit, I just fell back into it. Along with my pride, lately I've let things slide.
That one.
I read once that you said when you, this was a quote for you, said, when you're younger, if you get an idea for a song, you tend to force it into a bag. Oh, it's a rockabilly thing. And then, hey, presto, it comes out as rockabilly. What's different now?
Well, I think that at the age I am now, it's pretty obvious what my influences are. You know, I love American pop music.
Who's the quintessential American pop music performer? I mean, what do you mean when you say pop music?
God, there's so many of them, because I think that soul music and country and western and pop and Tony Orlando, you know, it's all the same. If it's good music, it's good music. When you're younger, you know, you're far more prejudiced about music. You know, this is great, this is rubbish. When you get older, you get a little more relaxed and you think, oh yeah, that's pretty good. Tie a yellow ribbon. You know, someone must have actually arranged that and made it sound snappy. But also, you know, Otis Redding is great.
Right. But how do you put Tie a Yellow Ribbon around Dock of the Bay? I mean, they sound like they're poles apart.
I guess I can't understand why I would. I mean, I think I'd rather listen to Dock of the Bay, but it's great pop music. It's great. They were both hits. You know, they're great pop songs, and, you know, they have different jobs to do. Don't get me wrong. I don't sit around listening to Tie a Yellow Ribbon around
right.
the old
well,
oak tree.
Yes, that's all right. If you did, it would be fine with me. We're very open-minded here. But it was just a question of style in the past, that there's certain styles that you didn't like, and that now anything goes as far as what
Pretty much. I don't go for a lot of new music, I must admit. I know it's a really uncool thing to say, but it's not for me. I'm 53, you know. Why would I be interested in dance music?
You ever heard a song and you said to yourself, man, I wish I'd written that?
Oh, yes, constantly. You know, when you hear a great 3-minute song, you're always filled with admiration. You know, the funny thing is that when I always put at least a couple of cover songs on my records, even if I was prolific, which I'm not, but even if I was, I think I'd always put a couple of cover songs on because I think it looks good. You know, it looks like you're not obsessed with your own thing. But it's very, very tough to find songs that people haven't heard, good songs that people haven't heard millions of times. I'm lucky enough to have a few music-loving friends throughout the world who, when they hear songs, they'll send them to me. But the wheels fell off my wagon, rather, on this record because somebody played me The Poor Side of Town. I'd never heard it before and recorded it very proudly, thinking I'd found this diamond in the rough, you know. And when I first started playing it to American friends of mine, they all said, oh, Johnny Rivers, Poor Side of Town, good idea, you know, and I thought I'd found something really cool.
How can you tell me how much you miss me? When the last time I saw you, You wouldn't even kiss me. That rich guy you've been seeing must have put you down. So welcome back, baby, to the poor side of town.
Does the perfect pop song have to be about 3 minutes long?
Well, I suppose so, because that's, you know, radio programmers like that length.
But three, I mean, I was noticing, even on this current album, I mean, you're not doing that simply to get airplay.
Oh, no, I've given up on airplay. No, I don't, I just, my records just don't get played on radio because of the way they sound, you know, it's just not, well, I think my records sound fantastic, but unfortunately nobody else does, so.
No, but it's not true that here at NPR, when I told people that, you know, that I was interviewing Nick Lowe, a lot of people, especially the guys who are into the music, their eyes widened, you know, and this was like incredible, Nick Lowe.
Yes, my records are enjoyed by lots of other people in the music business, other artists, other writers, people in advertising like me, film business, TV, those sort of people. And that's very flattering, you know, that people sort of in the know, if you see what I mean, like my stuff. The downside to that is that none of those people buy records. They get them free. and so I don't get many records. But the thing is that if your stuff is being played in those circles, you stand a chance of getting your song stuck in some cool new TV show, or, you know, have some good singer be encouraged to do one of my songs by a producer or somebody who's heard it. And that's really how I make my living.
Have you had a success like that recently?
Well, I've written a song for this new Solomon Burke record, which has just come out. You know, I'm rather flattered to be amongst the other writers on the record. Bob Dylan and Van Morrison and Tom Waits and Brian Wilson have all contributed songs for Solomon to sing. That's, you know, that's the sort of thing that cheers me up.
Well, if I've done all the things folks say I've done, I'd be in the ground or somewhere on the run. Take a look before you close the book. Look at the other side of the coin.
Is Solomon Burke one of the people that you hold up as...
Oh, yes, definitely, yes. When I was a teenager in the 60s in England, I used to run around with this gang of like-minded kids. We called mods back then. Mods and rockers were the two sort of youth cults around then. And the mods used to ride around on scooters, and they used to like soul music, you know, R&B music. And it was underground. You only knew about it if you were in it, you know, and that's what appealed to us. Because you never heard this stuff on the radio, Otis and Sam and Dave. And so it was all obscure soul singers. And there was a TV program on back then called Ready, Steady, Go, which we all used to watch. And that was the first time most of us had seen these great artists live. And one day Solomon Burke came on, and I just couldn't believe it. He was just so, so great. And if someone back then had said to me, you know, one day you will be asked... just asked to write a song for Solomon Burke, I might have told them they were absolutely crazy. And for him to have recorded a song that my contribution to his, that I wrote for him, not only to have recorded it, but also to make it sound so cool. And, you know, that, as far as I'm concerned, that's a howling success.
Before we go, is there anything you're working on and ready to come out with? Ready for air? Not quite ready for air, we could hear.
Well, I've got something that isn't quite ready for air, but I've been working on this song, which I think would be great for a female artist or a really great gay singer to sing. It's which I can play. I haven't played it for a while, so I'll probably just break down after about 45 seconds, which is probably about right. But it's called I Need a Good Man Bad, and it goes something like this. I need a good man bad. Although I know they say
they've all been had. Still I cling forlornly to the hope there's one left for me, who's not a dope, a bully, or a cad, whatever that chord is. I need a good man bad. No, it's gone now. But
sounds good to me.
Yeah, it'll be all right. It will be all right. I just can't remember it right now.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Nick Lowe. His latest album is The Convincer. To find out more about Nick Lowe, go to our website, npr.org.